Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome into God's house this morning on this beautiful Sunday with the sermon title, Trust the Right and Not the Wrong. Our scripture message comes today from Romans chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. You know, it's funny, this morning I woke up this morning and I was kind of in a little bit of a rush to actually getting up and all that stuff there. Or actually, I wasn't in quite a bit of a rush. I was slowly making my ways out of bed, you know, trying to finish up tying up this sermon together and then let alone get all dressed up, get air cleaned up, and get ready to preach today, knowing that today was the opportunity that I was going to be filling in for Brother Paul. And then all of a sudden I knew, like, oh no, I had to be sure that I got this sermon printed out this morning, but I didn't feel like getting up out of bed. So my mom comes walking into my room this morning. She's like, Toddy, you know you got to get up and preach this morning now. I was like, I know, Mom. She's like, are you going to get up? And I'm like, yes, I'm going to get up. Just give me a few more minutes. So 5 minutes went by, and then it's like, are you still going to get up? Like, you got to get going. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to get going. Like, let me just sleep for another 5 minutes. I'm like, okay. And so then 10 minutes go by. It's like, Toddy, you need to get up there. Like, you are going to preach in church today. And so what were my next words? I'm getting old. the same saying that I've been saying for so long now, Mom, right there to my mom. Mom, I'm getting old, even though I'm only 22 years old. Romans chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. May God add these blessings to these passages. Let us seek them in prayer. Father, thank you continuously for all you do for us and the gifts, the blessings, and the ability you have given us to be a light of the world. Thank you for everyone who is able to make it here today and supporting me taking over for Brother Paul today. God, I pray that you would open our minds, our hearts, and ears as we are about to listen to your words, not mine, Lord. I pray that this sermon would serve as purpose and allow us to understand what it means to do right and not wrong, to trust right and not wrong. And may that all that is being said and done here today will be for your honor and your glory. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. And all of his children said, Amen. So, wow. The first question right there that probably comes to y'all's mind is, well, what does he mean by trust the right and not the wrong? It's kind of self-explanatory in a lot of other people's minds when it really isn't. Because, see, this is something that's been storming through my mind for well over a month now when I was being told that Brother Paul is going to be, you know, away on vacation and he asked me to fill in for him to preach. Because if you think about, you know, some of the words in this sermon title, though, there's three words I want you guys to keep in mind. The three words are trust, that's right, and wrong. Now, think about a ruler, right? So the word trust, you know, it's probably about that big. It's like almost an inch, five letters. Trust, right, and wrong. You know, they're that small of a word, but then at the same time, they're probably about, they got that much meaning to them because of what surrounds it. Now, I'm going to lay this out to you right now. Like, I'm not going to go down and take this more from a psychologist's perspective where I'm going to dissect much of, like, you know, the little things of, like, the meaning behind these words. No, I'm not going to be take it from a teaching perspective either, saying, like, I'm going to teach a lesson about the things that you need to do right, the things that you shouldn't be wrong or anything like that. No, I'm going to preach today. Preacher Barry is going to preach here today that during these times that you need to trust rather than mistrust when things go wrong, when you don't understand. All I want you to do is just follow along with me because I want these words in trust, right, and wrong. I want this to be like the building block, the foundation, and the starting point of where all this sermon is going to lead. So let me begin by saying that here's the thing. In this day and age, we all have our own way of being selfish. And I'll admit it, I do. I have my own way of being selfish. Why? Because we all expect and we want things to go a certain way. And sometimes we don't understand why things happen the way they do. Amen? So we've probably been in countless situations where things weren't fair to us, right? Things didn't turn out in our favor the way we expected and wanted it. We've been in situations where maybe we've been mistreated badly. Maybe we've been in situations where we've been lied to by a friend. I can tell you right now, throughout my life, I've been lied to various friends. You could just look at a person, right? And they may look as like the nicest person on this, you know, on this planet, though. But turns out they can be just the total opposite of what you could have totally expect, though, because of the way they are and how they act, right? Or maybe, you know, you got something taken away from you, something so special. Maybe you had a loved one that was taken away from you so soon due to illness. Maybe you had something taken away, you know, an opportunity or a promotion, offer at your job. So in these situations, then you start to get these questions start roaming through your mind. It's the uncertainty, the fear, and scared, right? Like, what is God doing in this situation? Why is God letting this happen in my life? Did I do something to deserve and be punished for this? If you ever feel like life was getting out of control or uncertain, where all this was going to lead, I want to give you these two words to comfort you right here, right now. And they're very simple. But God. And you're probably wondering, well, but God? Well, how about, well, why not God, right? Because they bring a whole new understanding and meaning to every negative situation that you will continue to go up against, that you will continue to face, and whatever you are willing to do what it takes to overcome what is being put in front of you. So to show you what I mean, let me ask you this question. By a show of hands, who all remembers the story of Joseph? The story of Joseph in the book of Acts. So a lot of you, right? So let me ask you real quick. Open up to Acts chapter 7. We're going to look at verses 9 through 10, if you could, please. Now, before I read this, because you got to understand, too, that in this story, though, this is kind of gives us a brief summary of the brutality, the punishment, and the suffering of everything that Joseph went through in this given moment before he is being called by God, and God came in to save him, and he pronounced him ruler and leader of Egypt. So Acts chapter 7, verses 9 through 10. And the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him, and delivered him out of all of his afflictions, and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he made him the governor over Egypt and all of his house. So Joseph's story is the example of reassurance for all of us who wonder of the one question, like, what is God doing in my life? The story goes on to say that Joseph was betrayed by his own family and his circumstances beyond his control. He was sold as a slave. He was falsely accused, attempted rape. He was thrown into prison. He experienced a frightful downfall spiral like no other, until these life-changing words that, like right here, that we find in Acts chapter 7, verse 9, but God. It all comes down to these three things in the story of Joseph. It all comes down to the odds, life, and nothing. Why so? The odds were against Joseph, but God was with him. His life was out of control, but God had a plan. He was left with nothing, but God was about to give him everything. You see, God in this scripture delivered Joseph from all of his troubles and gave him favor and wisdom. He took him from the very bottom, where he was crushed, where he was punished. He was absolutely demoralized, and he brought him up to the top. God did everything during the process, and he released Joseph from prison. He gave him special favor by Pharaoh. And eventually, he came to the point where he promoted him to become the second most powerful person in the world. And I'm not going to make you turn to it there right here, right now, but then this story continues on in Genesis chapter 50, when Joseph's conniving brothers finally realized that Joseph was the governor over all of Egypt, and just assumed that he would take his revenge on them And instead, Joseph turned to them, and he says later on in Genesis chapter 50, verses 20 through 21, "You me am evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about as is the day to save many people alive. Now, therefore, do not be afraid." So what I'm trying to tell you all is right here, right now, what the devil and his bunch mean for evil, God can turn into good. If you find yourself right here, right now, today, being betrayed by those that you have trusted for a long time, you were thrown into circumstances beyond your control, that you remember these two words, "but God," because that's what plays into all this, right? Why? Because when you don't factor God in the circumstances, things become utterly hopeless. It is plain and simple. Because when you factor God in, all things are possible. With man it's impossible, but with man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. Amen.
Amen.
Because you see, anything the devil tries to persuade you, you're in doing evil. God can turn into doing good if you allow him to be in the present moment and work. Because by doing all good, all things are possible. Because what I'm trying to tell you is, by trusting the right, you must be one to trust his word right here. His instruction book, his teachings in this book. And right here, because if you read the Bible regularly and you let God's word filter thoughts into your heart, then you can trust his word, and then you can be willing to trust your own instincts. So do not allow your circumstances to make you bitter. Don't give up just because you can't see what God has planned for you right now. Don't give up there when you're uncertain of when the time is going to come, when God has stopped working. God continues to work there for a specific reason. It may take time until you finally get the answer of what you've been wanting for so long a period of time. But just to let you know, he is working. You just got to hang in there. You cannot quit. You need to stay faithful. You need to stay plugged in. And you'll be able to say, in the end, it looks bad, but God. By trusting right, I am saying you right here, right now, that you have to trust in God in the ways that he works, when he works, how he works, and why he works. Amen.
Amen.
So now the question remains is, how do I trust God when things go wrong? The hardest time is to trust God when things are going wrong. That's the way it is. But what do you do, and why does it seem if God is so far away and so silent? Well, I'm going to tell you right here. One, you let God guide you. God chooses to go step by step. And we as Christians must be willing to take the time every day to read his word, because it is a layout, it is a blueprint, it is a plan that allows us to navigate our way in every single situation of life and every aspect of life given. We must read his instruction. The second thing, remember when your faith is founded. When things go wrong, our faith is going to be shaken. It continues to be shaken every single day in this world. God wants our faith to have no limits. We should not say, "I will trust God," if he wants us to trust him. Regardless, the foundation, the building block of our faith should be focused on him and only God himself. He should be the front. He should be the center. He should be first place, period. God has a solution for every problem. Whether we have problems, big or small, we should be willing to trust God's plans that he has, that he will help us overcome, that he has a solution, that he will help us reach the finish line in the end. God is present even when things do not make sense. Things happen for a reason with little to no understanding. Do not try to figure out what God is doing. Just put your trust in him. How can you do so? Pray. That is the only thing. You just pray every single day. You let go of everything that is holding you and within your heart today. And you make your request to him. Allow him to put the pieces together. Allow him to put the plan together. And allow him to go to work. And by doing so, it takes all of the wear and tear and stress and worry and fear and anxiety and everything on you. Amen?
Amen.
It may not go as easily, but especially when things go so wrong, we must be willing to persevere. The only thing we fight is that we must have to stay in faith. And at some point, it will get better. And you shall rejoice. And when you come out on the other side of your troubles. Whew, heart is racing. So brothers and sisters, the message today is that by trusting the right, what I'm trying to tell you is that you must be willing to trust God. Because here's the thing. Hey, the bulletin. This is nice here. This helps out a lot. So, you've got two sides here, right? You've got the right. You've got the wrong. You have God. And then there's the devil, right? There's two choices you have here. If you trust right and you trust God, He's going to be there alongside with you. And He's going to help you along the way. Whereas, if you trust wrong, the devil's only going to make things worse. So what I'm trying to tell you is the message today is just when you trust right, is to trust God even when you don't understand. Trust Him when He is working. Trust God when He takes His time. Trust God through difficult times. Trust God every time and all the time. And how so? If you don't understand, this book says it right here. And if you wonder where, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And He'll make your path straight. Trust the right and not the wrong. Trust the right. Trust God. But God. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You. Thank You for all the gifts. Thank You for all the blessings. Thank You for releasing nervousness inside of me, Lord. I'm just very thankful for the message that was bestowed upon here today. And God, I pray that it has served His purpose. And I pray that it will make its way out into the world, that it would encourage others and really to allow us to be mindful of what it means to trust the right and not the wrong. What it means to trust You and what it means to not trust the devil. But God, but You, Lord. I thank You very much for this opportunity that I had to serve You, to preach to the congregation today. And thank You for all that You continue to do for us. And I pray You will be with us as we depart from here today. And that everything that continues to be said and done is for Your honor and Your glory. Trust right and not the wrong. We love You and thank You. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.